The rest of the story. John was 25 years young and about to get rich, or so he figured. And the vessel which would convey him to that prosperous destination was a cargo ship called the Seahorse of London. Now, John's acquaintances had it figured another way. They thought he might be fleeing England because of the scandal, the dismissal of his clergyman father from his parish based on accusations that he was a drunk. But John, a well-educated, adventuresome young man, was not easily embarrassed or intimidated. Quite in fact, he had read this booklet published in England in 1649. It was called A Perfect Description of Virginia. And in it, Virginia Colony was characterized as a sort of promised land, a lush, semi-tropical paradise, brimming with valuable natural resources that were just waiting for any enterprising young fellow to come along and harvest them. The resource that particularly interested John was tobacco. And so in December of 1656, John formed a partnership with Edward Prescott, the owner of a cargo vessel, the Seahorse of London. And a few weeks later, they set sail for America. And the voyage was pleasant, uneventful. The New World was remarkable. And despite the exaggerations in the booklet John had read, Virginia Colony proved every bit as rewarding to the intrepid fortune seeker as he had hoped that it would be. Before he knew it, the Seahorse of London was laden with tobacco and ready for her triumphal return to England. She'd been docked for loading in the Potomac. All that was left was to hoist her sails and head for the open sea. But she never reached the open sea. Navigating the deceptive river, Edward Prescott ran the Seahorse onto a shoal. The crew was trying to extricate her when the storm came up, hit her broadside, and sent her to the bottom, the precious cargo of tobacco and all. And all at once, the paradise which had lured John far from home with the promise of wealth and adventure became a desert island on which he was marooned. And as always for shipwrecked sailors whose entire world goes down with their vessel, there was nothing for John to do now but stay. For once upon a very plausible dream, there was a disillusioned young man who faced the reality of his circumstances at 25 and cut his losses and camped out on the spot where he was stranded, the so-called northern neck of Virginia Colony. His new life wasn't all that bad. He met and befriended a well-to-do colonist named Nathaniel Pope, whose daughter Anne John eventually married. In fact, his new father-in-law gave the couple 700 acres of land and enough money to start farming that land. And that was only the beginning, in a manner of speaking, of the history of the United States of America. For John and Anne had a son, and their son had a son, and that grandson begat the man who begot a new nation, conceived in liberty. Just think of it. Had John's cargo ship, the Seahorse of London, sailed out of the Potomac that morning and returned to England, the father of his country would have fathered something else. But it turned out to be our lucky day when the Seahorse went down, abandoning a stranger in paradise, the great-grandfather of our first president, John Washington. Now you know the rest of the story.